Let's take a moment to pray before we look at the scripture today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is so powerful and active in our lives, oh Father. It is sharper than the two-edged sword. We pray as we give some time, oh God, to listen to your word. Lord, we do not want to hear the voice of a man, but we pray as we pray for the prompting of the Spirit of God. We pray that we will allow your Spirit to work in our lives, convict us, oh God, convince us, oh God, encourage us, empower us, oh God, and also motivate us to live a life for you. I pray, God, that the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you hear the word church, what comes to your mind? Right? What comes to your mind when you hear the church? To some people, I think the building comes to our mind, 1490 Birchmount Road, right, in Scarborough. And you know, many would turn to the scriptures by saying, you know, this: the church is the bride of God, the church is the house of all of God, the church is the temple of God where God expects righteousness. So a lot of images come to our mind, you know, and I think we know the ecclesiology. No, we know the study of the church, what it means to be the church. And I thought for a couple of weeks I wanted to focus on the church, because when I say church, it is not something out there. It is you and I, because I think the church is the body of Christ and Christ is the head of the church. So when I say church, and it's not looking somewhere else, I think we are looking at ourselves, because we are part and parcel and you know of this particular church that God has actually called us to. Many times we hear this phrase, right? People, right, love Jesus, but they don't like the church. Have you heard that? I love Jesus. Anything to do with Jesus, I'm fine. But don't talk to me about churches or church, right? It's a lot of hypocrites are over there. You know, many times we tend to hear that word. It is something, someone said, it is something if you say such things, it is like saying, I love to swim, but I don't love the water, right? I love to swim, but I don't want to go near the water because that's not for me. So if you love Jesus, we need to love the church. The reason is because a church is not an organization that was started by any man, right? It was started by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was founded by him. And whatever it is, whether we like it or not, the church will always be forever. There are wonderful hymns that talks about, you know, the church will always last forever. And so many of us know what is the church, right? Many of you can even preach about church and all that. But I wanted to look at how Paul was looking at the church in Thessalonica. Many times I think when you look at the church Paul is speaking about, it is not a church that we go, right? I go to this church. You know, this, it is at the junction of Birchmount and Ellesmere. It is not the church that we go, but the church that we belong. It is our church. I think it's important, right? It's more than going to the church. It's the place I belong. It's a place I'm part of the family. It's a place where we reach out to one another. We love one another. We care for one another. And we labor that we will, you know, live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. And so when Paul writes this 1 Thessalonians, he's just reminding the believers. He's talking to them about how he labored for the church. And when I look at it in Paul's spirit, I realize, I think this is what this man of God wants us. I think many of you are involved in some kind of ministry in the church. It might be ushering, it might be greeting, it might be in the area of worship, it might be in the area of Sunday school, from kids to adults. You know, many ministry, or even prayer ministry, refreshment, whatever it is. You know, Paul is saying, and this is how I do ministry. This is how I love the church, and this is how I labor for the church. Because I love Christ, and so I ought to love the church. And so Paul is speaking about it. I was coming across, I did not read this book, but the writer of this book has actually, you know, authored this book. Very interestingly, you know, it by Joshua, it says, I don't have battery. Yeah. Yeah, it's a book. It says, stop dating the church, fall in love with the family of God. Stop dating the church, fall in love with the family of God. You know, many a times we tend to date the church, right? We date the church as if, you know, we will date and you'll see whether, you know, it pleases me, whether I'm happy with the church. When I don't like, what happens? You know, I part ways. I don't want to be part of the church. So Joshua writes by saying, you know, stop dating the church, but fall in love with the family of God. Thank you. So the passage that we will be looking today, it's a passage, you know, stop dating the church, fall in love with the family of God. So let us love God's family. And so when Paul writes this particular epistle, it's a very interesting epistle that Paul is writing about. As I said, he was just laboring for the church. He was working hard for the church because he loves Jesus. And because I love Jesus, because he's my Savior and Lord, you know, I cannot but love the church. That's the way Paul was and Paul is when we see it in this particular passage. There are three descriptions I think Paul uses when he speaks about the church, when he speaks about how he labored for the church, my friend. And so when I was reading it, you know, I was really refreshed to see how Paul, this great man of God, you know, looked at church and how he wanted each and every one of us, you know, whatever role, whatever ministry, or whatever part that we play in the church, I think we need to be imitators of Paul, because I think Paul was an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. So three descriptions that we will see today, and then we can enjoy our Victoria Day. And I know some of you might be just planning for a barbecue today, so enjoy your time together. Right? The first description I think Paul uses in this verse, he uses the word, right, in verse 7, he says, instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So firstly, Paul speaks about the care of a mother. And this is how we cared for you. Can you imagine? You know, this is, I don't go to church. I belong to the church. And this is how I care for the family of God. This is how I labor for the family of God. And this is how Paul speaks about it. And firstly, you know, when you look at this word, verse 7, 8, sometimes I might tend to use the English Standard Version too, right? And I play around with NIV also. You know, Paul talks about sensitivity in this particular verse. He says, I'm gentle among you. Very interesting word in the Greek text. It means infant. And it also means that I was tender. I brought myself like an infant among you. Have you realized, mothers, right, when you have your kids, you don't talk to your baby like an adult. Now it's your time to drink your milk. No, right? You don't do that. You become an infant. You make noise, right? You laugh. And I think mothers will know, right? You become like them. You speak their language. Your mood changes. Yeah, your whole thing changes. You become like, that's the way Paul is saying, I'm so sensitive, right? I know where you are. What are your needs? I could have been an apostle, right, with authority. In the previous verses you read, Paul is saying, you know, I could have actually asserted my authority by saying, and I'm an apostle, so listen to me. I'm your mother, I'm your dad, so listen to me. Paul could have actually used his authority. But Paul says, no. You know, I labor with you, I work. And how? I was sensitive. Like a mother, I was so gentle, accommodating. In other words, I come to you. Even in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul writes about, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So he says, you know, I just came. Paul was a very learned guy, by the way. He studied under the feet of Gamaliel the Great. Very scholarly, right? Top-notch guy. He knew scriptures pretty well, the law pretty well, you know. And Paul was saying, you know, I came down to your level because like a mother, I loved you. I spoke your language. I want to relate to you. I wanted to be there for you. But the same note, always realize, you know, Paul doesn't mean, but there are moments, mothers are also very firm, right? When the baby is not feeding, what do you do? Right? Sometimes you have a stern look at the child, and the child knows, baby, the baby knows the mother is staring at her or him, right? And so Paul, in Galatians, when Paul writes, Paul is also firm. Right? There are moments he came down, but at moments he was also firm, and he knew how to be firm with the church. Secondly, when you look at the word, you also realize Paul uses the word as the nursing mother taking care, right? In certain texts, you will see, you will read this word, he cherishes the church. In other words, Paul says taking care. You know, and when you look at the English word, it's very simple. He takes care of the church. Like a mother takes care of a child. That's the way we look at the word, right? The mother takes care, right? Whatever the needs are. But in the Greek word, it's a different word altogether. It's a different word altogether. I think many of you would have seen birds, right? Big birds or whatever birds. Have you ever seen? It will always bring the chicks, the chicken will always bring the chicks under its care, under its warm. And that's the word that is used in the Greek text. It's not just taking care of the needs of the child. It is bringing the child under its heat, because under its warm. And like the chicken or the birds that takes care of the small ones, you know, that's the way I want you to feel that warmth, that I love you, that I am caring for you. That's the word Paul is saying. You know, I support you in such a way that I bring you under my wings, that you can feel the heat, the warmth, the love, the compassion. And that is what Paul is speaking about. I think that's the church is today, right? We need to be sensitive, right? As leaders, as people who are involved in ministry, whatever ministry that God has given to us, we need to understand that every person at the church is on a different level altogether, in their spiritual level, right? In the knowledge of the scriptures. We can't expect people to be like us, right? Theologically sound or knows a lot of theology. I think as Paul says, we need to be sensitive to the needs of the people that we work. And we need to be supporting them, not just being with them, but bringing them under our wings, making them feel the warmth, that we care for them, that we are there for them. That's the way Paul is also saying. Thirdly, he uses the word sustenance, right? He says, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. Going back to Greek again, it's an interesting word that Paul uses. It's a word, you know, have you seen the mothers breastfeed their kids, their children, right? They breastfeed and they enjoy doing it. And that's the same kind of word Paul is using. I'm sustaining my child, my baby, my church, right? I'm sharing whatever that's in me, whatever nutrients are in me, whatever I have, I'm just sharing with my child, with my church. And that's the image Paul is using in the Greek text, my friend. Not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we say, you know, I've shared the gospel, I'm done, right? That's the end of the day. But he says, but also our own selves. I'm just giving my own self. The mother feeds the child. The mother is giving whatever she has eaten, right? All the nutrients. She's not withholding anything. She's just giving. And that's the way Paul is saying, I'm not only giving the gospel to you, but I'm giving myself to you. You know, whatever I am, I'm just imparting myself to you. That's the way I think Paul sees the church. That's the way Paul wants every member of the church to be caring for one another, my friend. It's not just sharing the gospel, which is wonderful. That's the key. But I think, how do we share? Do we share with that kind, whatever we know? We give fully. We give ourselves fully to the need of the particular person. And so he says, you know, I cared for you like a mother who cared, who was sensitive. I came down to your level, right? And I know some of you are teaching junior high and high schoolers. It's not easy, because you need to understand their world. You need to come down, right, to their world. Some of you are teaching in Sunday school, right? sometimes you'll say, that's not my cup of tea, but you need to come down, you need to speak their language, right? And that's the way Paul is saying, you know, I was sensitive. I was supporting them, right? I was caring for them. I was just brought them under my wings so that they will feel the warmth. And also I was just sustaining them, not only with God's word, but also giving myself wholly, fully, so that the person would feel the love of God, the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I've given you this quote before. Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing, that costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. So similarly, if our ministry is not causing us nothing, if it doesn't give anything, it suffers nothing, it is not worth anything. And so Christianity is a religion. I think we want to give, right? We give, we don't withhold anything. And that's what Martin Luther was saying. Secondly, let's look at the second word that Paul is using. It's one of the favorite words of Paul whenever he talks about labor, when he's involved in the ministry, the lives of the people. And he uses the word brethren, right? The companionship of a brethren. If you look at the many times I've seen 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes 1 Corinthians, Paul uses numerous times, uses the word brethren. So whenever he uses the word brethren, it doesn't mean brothers, right? Paul uses in a word which is, it's not gender-based. In other words, male and female, brothers and sisters in certain translations. In NIV, you will read it as brothers and sisters. So when Paul uses the word, you know, it shows how much, you know, he was just loving the church. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is almost using like 19 times. I tried to read why, on what context Paul was using that word. Very powerful word that, you know, Paul was using. So if you read 1 Thessalonians, you will tend to see this word. And Paul loves the church. He labors for the church. And he wants to be a great companion, right? As a brother, as a, you know, a person who will just come along with them. I think that's the church. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. In other words, what was happening, you know, when Paul wrote this word or this particular letter, you know, the Judaizers were just after him. After Paul worked in this church for a year, he went back, right, for other ministries. And the Judaizers were just coming up to Paul and saying, you know, this man is starting this movement because he wanted money. He wanted profits. And that's the reason for his personal gain, for his personal popularity. And that was the talk of the town in those days. The Judaizers were making things out. But Paul was saying, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, our visit to you was not without results. In other words, he was saying, you know, we came, right? We came because we loved you. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will see how Paul shows his love towards the church. We came, and when he uses the word without result, then it means, you know, Paul says, you know, you have been fruitful, right? We did not just come and share. We did not just, you know, make us offerings from you guys. We shared in such a way it brought forth results. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, you tend to read this, you know, that the ministry was so fruitful that the Thessalonian church was just reaching out to the entire region. Right? It became a massive movement by the ministry of that particular church. And so Paul is just reminding, as a church, as a brother, we came. Right? We came not for my profit, not because I wanted to gain something, but I wanted to impact your life. I wanted to be there because, you know, I wanted to show that I love you as a brother. I wanted to see results. I want to see fruits that is happening in your life. You know, sometimes I think we tend to share the gospel and just leave it like that. But Paul says, it's not just sharing the gospel. But I came as a brother. I wanted to see results. I want to see fruits. I want to see things that just happening the way that God will be pleased. And then if I come back to the same passage that we just read today, chapter 2, verse 9, Paul is talking about sacrifice here. He says, as a brother, you know, I'm sacrificing. So he uses the word, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked day and night, night and day, in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. In other words, Paul uses the word labor and hardship, right? It was a painful thing. It was not for profit. I did not gain anything. It is just for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you know, I understood where you are. And so we came, we went through all the hardships and all that. Paul says, you know, normally we use the word day and night, right? But Paul uses the word night and day. Have you realized that? It's interesting because Paul was a tent maker. And so what was happening, you know, Paul worked long hours into the night so that during the daytime he could spend time with the church, building the church. And he did not want any offering from them. Paul was just dependent on his tent making work that he was doing. He was just sustaining because he knew the church had difficulty. He knew the church had hardships, right? They have to meet their needs too. And so Paul was working late into the night and daytime, whenever, you know, things were possible, Paul was just giving himself to the church. He was just toiling. He could have said, you know, after a night work, I need rest, right? I need to unwind myself. But Paul says, you know, I worked hard. I labored. It was a tough thing. I just labored because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love you, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so it is important for us. I think the amount of sacrifice, you know, Paul is talking about. If we love the church, let me tell you, my friend, like Paul, I think we will be willing to sacrifice, right? It is not for self-gain. I just want to bring glory to God. Yes, I know it is tough, right, to spare some time to be given to the benefit of my church, of my brothers and sisters, right, to build up the body of Christ like Paul. Right, you know, I think we need to tell ourselves, but we want to give ourselves, right? It might be hardship, it might be toil, it might be difficult. So, and you know, I should appreciate the ministry of people who are, you know, in the church. And I know being involved in ministry of the church is not easy. Right? Some of you are involved in various ministries. The amount of preparation that needs to be put into the ministry that you're doing. Let me tell you, in the midst of your work in your corporate world or wherever you are, right, and you still give your time. And let me tell you, God rewards us accordingly. And so that's what Paul is trying to say. And I'm willing to sacrifice. As a brother, I'm willing to be standing because I love you as a brother. Last word Paul is using, right? I know fathers will be looking, you know, what about mother? What about friends? What about us, right? Let me tell you, Paul uses the word father too, right? He talks about the concern of a father. And this is how I love the church. And this is how I labored for the church. And so Paul uses the third description when he speaks about his labor, his involvement in the life of the ministries. Talks about the concern of a father, right? He says, you are witnesses, and so is God, and how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And so Paul says, you know, like a father, you know, I was there for you. Like someone said like this, right? It's easy for a father not to have a son, but it's difficult for a son to not to have a father. It's easy for a father not to have a son, but it's difficult for a son not to have a father, because the son needs a father. He needs to see who the father is, right? The one who's there. And so he talks about the image of a father. And so that's the way Paul saw his ministry, how he labored. Not because, you know, I'm just doing it, right, but I just wanted to be a father. In other words, he talks about right living, right? He wanted to be a great example to the church. And he says, you are your witnesses, and so is God, how holy, righteous, and blameless we are. And so Paul says, you know, I was a great example. I was living a life, you know, very exemplary kind of a life. And that's why Paul was able to say, imitate me because I imitate Christ. I think it's difficult for us to say such words. Right? Can we say something to someone, you know, imitate me because I imitate Christ? And Paul was bold enough to say such words because he had a very right living. A couple of words, you know, we will look at it. You know, he uses the word holy, right? In other words, Paul says, you know, why I was able to live a life of an example, a great model, because I was having a right relationship. I wanted to be holy in the sight of God. I was not just putting up an image, you know, for people to see. You know, it all started because I had a right relationship with God. Let me tell you, my friend, you know, if you put an image in the front of people, people will recognize that you're putting a mask in front of you. But if you're doing it because you love God, you're living a life because of God's love, and I experience God's love in my life, I want to live a holy life, a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. When my focus is on God, my friend, you know, you tend to see the product that's happening. You see, I become an example in my speech, in my word, in my conduct. Paul uses, right? And so he says, my right living started with God. Not because I'm a leader. Not because, you know, I'm in charge of something. You know, I need to put up some kind of mask. Because I had a right relationship with God. Secondly, he uses the word righteous, right? In certain versions, you use the word justly. Some of you would like this word. Paul says, I'm real. That's what Paul is saying. I'm genuine. Right? I'm a real guy. Today, we want to see the real stuff. And Paul says, I'm real. Right? I was real before the sight of people. I was sincere. The sight of people. And thirdly, uses the word blameless. In other words, Paul was saying, you know, I was walking the talk. No one can ever point finger at me and say that this is me. Right? That my life was contrary to the word of God. I was living a life just opposite the word of God. Can you imagine? That's the way Paul says, you know, the concern of a father, you know, this is who I am. My life is a life of right living, and I was drawing strength from God. And people, I was real because I was worshiping the real God, and no one was able to point finger at me. I was just walking the talk. I was just living the life that God wanted me to live. Secondly, when you see the word father, he also uses the word in verse 12, right? He says, right leading. He uses the word encourage. In King James Version, you will read as he exhorted them. And then he uses the word comforting, and he uses the word urging them, right? And some of the functions of the father that he tends to use. In verse 12, he uses the word encourage them. In other words, it's a very interesting word that Paul is using. It's almost like the same word that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit, right? When Jesus used the word Holy Spirit, paraclete, in the Greek text, it means to come alongside, right? That is the meaning of the word paraclete in the Greek text. But when Paul uses, he's almost using some kind of similar word, but slightly different, right? He's saying it's calling the person to one side. When the Holy Spirit does, he comes along. That's a different in the Greek text. But in the word that Paul is using, the father calls the child to one side, putting his arms around the son or daughter, and speaks to the child and says, you know, this is what we do. And that is what Paul is trying to say, right? And we were there. We were not coming along with you because we are not the Holy Spirit, right, to just walk along with you. But there were moments in our life that we wanted to be a father, that we brought you to our side, right? We put hands around you and we spoke with you, just encouraging you. And the word here in the Greek means he was speaking to their will. In other words, you know, when I was speaking to you, I'm not just showing my love and compassion. I wanted to see that you are able to understand what I'm trying to say. And that's the way Paul is saying. I'm just trying to lead you, that your mind will be back to the scriptures, right? And that's the word Paul is using. Secondly, he uses the word comforting. I was just comforting. In other words, I was speaking nicely to you, right? I was firm, but I was nice, soothing. But Paul is also very hard when he speaks to people who are against the word of God, right? If you look at 1 Corinthians, Paul writes a difficult letter. It's a difficult letter to read because of the language, the way Paul is speaking to them. But here Paul says, you know, I'm just comforting them, right? Right? And when Paul says the word comfort in the Greek, it also means I'm comforting them. At the same time, I'm also challenging them. Right? And that's the concern of the Father that Paul is speaking. And lastly, he says, I'm urging them. It also means, right, urging them to go beyond. In other words, not where you are, but I want you to go beyond. That's the way Paul is using the word. Right? I'm not saying, no, be happy, be satisfied where you are. No, no, no. I want you to go beyond. Right? I'm urging them. I'm just motivating them to grow in the Lord, not to be stagnant where they are in their spiritual walk with God, but I'm just talking them, consoling them, comforting them. You know, at the same moment, I'm just challenging them so that they will move on to the next level in their Christian walk and love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the church. And that's how Paul saw the church. And that's how Paul ministered to the church, my friend. The church is not a building today. Let me tell you, the church is a family of God. And Paul was able to care for the church as a mother cares for a child. He was willing to impart. Right? He was willing to come down to the level of the baby, talk in the baby's language, to give all whatever that belongs to me, I'm just willing to give. And secondly, Paul says, like a friend, right? I worked hard because my purpose is clear. I want you to know Christ and embrace Christ and live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, Paul says, I was like a father to you because I want to be a great example. I called you to my side. I spoke to you, right? I urged you that you will not be stagnated, but you will just move on. You'll grow in your life and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friends, I think the church is more, right? More than a building. The church is a family where we care for one another, right? When we are involved in ministry, I think we are involved in building. Can you imagine building the body of Christ? Right? It's not just a building, a couple of people, but building the body of Christ. So each and every one of us are important. Each and every one of us are important. I think, and when each and every one of us are involved in ministry, let's have ask God to give us the heart of a mother, right? To be a great companion, like a friend who's there working hard because I'm concerned about you. Call me midnight. I'll be there for you. Like a father, I want to be a great example for you, that I can show you the way, that I can urge you and motivate you. I was reading this story, and let me finish with this. It's about Sir Michael Costa. Michael Costa was a great orchestra conductor in the 19th century. And so people were very fond of his, you know, the way he conducted the orchestra. And so one day they were having a rehearsal. And so when he was having the rehearsal, you know, they had a great choir that was singing along. And so they had a lot of musicians there. They had a great choir. And so when they started playing and the choir was singing, there was one player, right? He was playing the flute, the piccolo player. And so for a moment he took rest. In other words, he was not playing. He was just using the flute there, but he just kept quiet, right? Sometimes when maybe you play guitar, you can switch off the mic and then just strum, nothing comes out. So this guy, what was happening, he was not blowing, he was just holding the flute. And the choir was singing, and the music was loud, and immediately Sir Michael Costa said, stop, right? He said, stop. He says, where is the flute? He was able to recognize, though it is insignificant compared to the entire choir and the other musician, right? It is insignificant, but to him, it was important. He said, stop, right? Where is the flute? So when I was reading the story, I was just reminded, right? Sometimes we think, you know, my ministry is insignificant, Pastor Vincent. Right? It's not so important. You know, this is what I just do for the church. But let me tell you, God doesn't see that. In the sight of God, every ministry is important, my friend. Right? We come from a world, right? We say, okay, this is important. That's how, right, we think like a capitalist. But in the sight of God, every ministry, because God talented us differently with different gifts, my friend. I think when we use the gifts that God has given to us, maybe our ministry is a ministry of encouragement, right? Just welcoming people, just putting a smile and just welcoming. That makes a lot of difference in the life of people. It might be a ministry of, you know, something that we might think insignificant, but I think each and every ministry is important, my friend. When we are involved in ministry, let's have the heart of a mother. I want to give the best, right? I want to welcome people, right? If it's a child, I want to welcome the child in a childlike manner. If it's an adult, I want to welcome the person in that kind of a manner. If I speak, I want to speak in the language that every people will understand and appreciate. And I want to be like a friend. Is willing to work hard, willing to go the extra mile, and to show my love and my purpose is clear, because I want to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, I want to be a great example in my life and also in my leading. You might be a flute, but let me tell you, everyone is important, my friend. Do you see yourself important in the family of God? Let's pray.